Welcome to a highly questionable Monday. You know, the one where we talk a lot of football and you can't always see the top of my head. Dan and Poppy are off today. So from most hair to least hair, we've got Stu Gatz, Dominic Foxworth, Mike Golic Jr. Dominic, what do you like on the show today?
Oh, the real defensive player of the year. It's not who you think, but it is the position you would probably guess.
I'm sorry, Gojo. Let's do this.
Did Aaron Rodgers make a responsible throw in his touchdown pass to Jamal Williams?
Aaron Rodgers on Sunday Night Football beat the Chiefs 31-24, and he had one particular throw that was amazing. Some would say accidental, but it was to Jamal Williams in the back of the end zone here. Scrambling to his right, just tosses it up there. Boom. He says he wanted to throw it to Jimmy Graham for perhaps a jump ball, but knew that Williams was back there anyway. Dominique, is he a god or is he just a quarterback?
Oh, I think he's certainly closer to a god. I give him the benefit of the doubt. It reminds me of that Russell Wilson throw where if you're good enough, we'll say you did it on purpose. If you're bad, we'll say it was a mistake. But he put it in a spot, as they say, where only his receiver could get it. And one of the things I liked about seeing that is that's a pass that Aaron Rodgers would not have thrown in the past. And maybe it's a little bit of Mahomes rubbing off on him, but one of the only criticisms that we've had of Aaron Rodgers throughout his career is that he's a little too conservative with the ball. He's a little too afraid to turn it over with a 4-1 touchdown to interception ratio. But a pass like that, if he's throwing that from here on out, this team is going to be tough to beat.
Absolutely. It's a lot easier to take calculated risks when you finally feel like you have not only an offensive coordinator that's behind you, but a defense that's much more able to bail you out should things go awry. So we have a chance to see the best version of Aaron Rodgers, but Stu Gatz has to appreciate that excuse there. Not only was he not trying to throw it away, but he had not one but two backup plans in all this one, believing just enough of the lie to know that we are getting none of the truth.
Time for the other side of the story with me, Stu Gatz. It was totally irresponsible. Had any other quarterback, let's say, I don't know, Mitchell Trubisky made the same throw, we'd be crushing him today. That's been the other side of the story with me, Stu Gatz.
So that's going to be your thing today?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Keeping it moving. Could rookie Nick Bosa be the best defensive player in the NFL?
Well, the 49ers beat the Panthers yesterday, continuing their undefeated streak 7-0. And while I'm marveling at Kyle Shanahan and Tevin Coleman in that running game, which seems to be ridiculously impressive at a time where everybody's throwing the ball everywhere, man, Nick Bosa's ridiculously impressive, too. 3 sacks. 3 tackles for loss, which I kind of thought were the same thing, right? Can't they count as both? And an interception and a 46-yard return. Gojo, is he among the best? Is he the best already?
I mean, he's certainly putting his name in the conversation and definitely starting to get some noise for Defensive Player of the Year, because one of the reasons is it tends to go to the best defensive player on a team that's doing really well, and the Niners have the benefit of that zero in the loss column right now, while a guy like, let's say, Myles Garrett in Cleveland has double-digit sacks already on the season and is showing out. The offense on his team is betraying him. Their season's not going according to plan, and so he won't get anywhere near the air that Bosa is probably going to touch here.
Yeah, before the season started, Myles Garrett said he was going to win that award, and he's doing everything in his power. He is the best pass rush win rate in the league. He also has more sacks with 10, and maybe he would get it if it wasn't for the fact that the rest of his team stinks. But I'm going to go a different direction. The guy who I think is the best in the league right now, Stephon Gilmore. Think about what they're doing. That team is very good. He's a great corner that locks down the opposing receivers and allows that Patriots defense to do some pretty complex things. Actually, they're pretty simple for them, but they appear complex to the defense, and it's because of his ability to cover. So maybe we should think about giving an award to a cornerback. I don't know.
So Nick might be great, but just not the greatest. But what are the 49ers? Can we assess them now? Because we want to talk about who they've beaten, but it seems regardless of what's in front of them, they find special ways to win. They scored 51 points. My favorite stat of the weekend was this is the first time since 2003 that they've scored more than their team name, the 49ers. That's crazy. How good are they?
I think they're very good. I mean, they're built in the right ways, and they're showing you just how important a great play caller can be on offense, because I think they're a lot like the Seahawks. You've got a quarterback and a play caller that might not be working necessarily together. We're not sure how good Jimmy Garoppolo is, but we know how great Kyle Shanahan is. Much the same way, I don't know if we really trust the play calling in Seattle as much as we do their Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, I think they are a team to be reckoned with, but as all the good teams are in the league, we have this same looming question. Who have they really beaten? And I think it's fair to ask of them, and the same thing is fair to ask of the Patriots.
Time now for the other side of the story with me, Stu Gatz. Best defensive player in the NFL? I'm not certain if he's the best defensive player in his own family. That's been the other side of the story with me, Stu Gatz. Should we put the Patriots defense in the same company as the 85 Bears?
I mean, speaking of who have you beaten, the Patriots beat the Browns yesterday 27-13. But what are the Browns? What is Baker Mayfield? Still, though, these Patriots, we know what Bill Belichick can do to an opposing team. If you look at the list of quarterbacks that they've played and throw Baker Mayfield on the list because he's a young one, too. Bill Belichick has had his way with them and historically will always have his way with them. But there seems something special about this team, Dominique. I don't know if it's continuity. I don't know if it's just people in this system knowing Bill Belichick, but they seem ridiculously special.
Yeah, I think they deserve to be in that conversation. It is fair to criticize their strength of schedule so far, but what they're doing to these teams is something that should not be able to replicate, because you talk about things like turnovers, and we tend to think that those are somewhat based on luck. Those aren't things that you can recreate week after week, but they're finding a way to recreate it even when teams are trying to be conservative. The Browns, for goodness sake, threw a shovel pass, and somehow they intercepted that. I didn't know that was possible. So it's hard for me to say anything negative about that team on the defensive side of the ball right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything you can point to as random, because, Dominique, you know this as well as anybody. That stuff is coached. Jonathan Jones walking down Nick Chubb on that run and punching downward with a closed fist are things that you are coached all the time as a defensive player. The Patriots just execute it more consistently. And I think part of that, as Izzy mentioned, comes from continuity. You have a defense that we saw do all this against a very good Rams team in the Super Bowl. You have a defense that's got veteran guys that have been around each other for a while. And so they can execute things that, as this league turns over and brings in stars on different teams through free agency, you don't get everywhere else with that.
The Browns turned the ball over on three consecutive offensive plays. They're very lucky we're talking about the Patriots here and not them.
I do think that the game that they have coming up against the Ravens will be a good test, because this team, the Patriots team, they're built with their secondary first. They're built to stop modern offenses that throw the ball a lot. And when you watch their games up until this point, they have not been all that great against the run. You think about the Nick Chubb play. He had all those yards before they caused the fumble. And you think about Le'Veon Bell. Even though they dominated that Jets team, it seemed like Le'Veon Bell was able to get 5 to 7 yards just about whenever he wanted.
We'll probably learn a lot more about the Patriots when they play Deshaun Watson, when they play Lamar Jackson next week, and when they play Patrick Mahomes later in the year.
Here's the other side of the story with me, Stu Gott. I bet you the 85 Bears wish they could have faced Luke Falk, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield.
That guy.
That's the other side of the story with me, Stu Gott.
That one deserves a golf clap.
Oh, thank you. Do you trust the Eagles again after they trounced the Bills?
The Eagles are going to be that team, right? The one that we ask every other week, are they back? They're a 500 team. That's what they are. Last week they lost. They got trounced in Dallas. They needed this win against Buffalo, and they got it. Now, Josh Allen gave them 3 fumbles, and that seems to be a problem for him. But the Eagles needed it when they got it. But, Dominique, that doesn't seem to mean that they're the team that we thought they were, right?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say this about the Bills, but I never believed in them, and advanced statistics don't either. They're the worst DVOA for any 5-1 team. So I think the Eagles got a good win, a win that they needed, but it still doesn't make me impressed with them, in part because the most important group on their team, the cornerbacks, most important group on every team, it's their worst position group. So you're not going to win anything if you can't cover anybody. Everybody knows that.
Transparent analysis from our resident defensive back, Dominique Foxworth, which I think means I'm supposed to support this because the Eagles won with a career high in rushing yards in the Doug Peterson era, and that would mean the offensive line did well. But I'm with Dominique. This again goes to the Bills. You look at what they've been expecting. They've been expecting Josh Allen to be something that I ultimately think he's not, which is reliable in key situations. And towards the end of that game, he completed 3 of his final 13 passes when they were down and needed to get back. And unfortunately, that's, I think, closer to what the Bills really are.
Is there anything better than when Dominique is talking DVOAs?
Spicy.
Here's a fun fact with me, Stu Gott. The Bills haven't beaten a team with a record above 500. That's been a fun fact with me, Stu Gott.
Yes, we know who you are. Thank you. Let's move on.
Make it sure. It wasn't that much fun.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Now for some cold reality with me. Got. The Houston Texans could fix this problem and replace J.J. Watt, but they have no draft picks because they are currently operating without a general manager. That's been some cold reality with me, Stu Gott.
Got real.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Can the presence of Deshaun Watson make up for the absence of J.J. Watt?
The question's kind of confusing because Deshaun Watson does not play defense and J.J. Watt's always hurt. And so, yes, can Deshaun Watson make up for the absence of J.J. Watt? It would seem so. He hasn't been that great force. He is now out for the season. Deshaun Watson, meanwhile, is getting kicked in the face and still throwing game-winning touchdown passes. This guy's special. We had John Gruden compare him to Michael Jordan, which is now the second time he's been compared to that guy. That seems to mean something, right, Mike Golic?
Yeah, I would say so, and I think it speaks to a couple of things. One, the value of the quarterback position that we know is amongst the greatest in all of professional sports. Having a guy that can make the plays Deshaun Watson does can ease the pain for any defense or any offensive line, and he's been doing both for a while. But on defense, it had been a while since J.J. Watt was fully himself to begin with. Now, he was double-teamed the second most of any perimeter rusher in the league, behind only Jadeveon Clowney, who would look awfully good in a Texans uniform still right now had they not traded him away to the Seahawks.
Oh, those are some fantastic stats, and bringing up the Seahawks I think is important because what the Texans are trying to do is similar to what the Seahawks have done. Transition from a defensive first team that relied on a quarterback to make enough plays to get you over the next level to a team that relies almost exclusively on the quarterback in hopes that the defense can keep up. When you're trading away players like Jadeveon Clowney to bring in guys like Larry McTunsil to protect your quarterback, you sure as hell hope that he can make up for the shortcomings on defense. And J.J. Watt, not someone that you can count on anymore, at least to be healthy for the course of the season.
Now for some cold reality with me, Stu Gott. The Houston Texans could fix this problem and replace J.J. Watt, but they have no draft picks because they are currently operating without a general manager. That's been some cold reality with me, Stu Gott.
Yeah, it got real.
Was the Bears' loss more on Matt Nagy or Eddie Pinheiro?
I mean, the Bears did the unthinkable, losing on a missed field goal again. This one was 41 yarders from Eddie Pinheiro, former Gator, by the way. They started kneeling the ball and settling with about 43 seconds left. You could argue that Matt Nagy could have gotten his team closer given the circumstances, given his team's recent history. But 41 yards, Dominique, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, I don't blame Matt Nagy or Pinheiro. I may blame Mitchell Trubisky because I guarantee you the play-calling decisions would have been better if it weren't for the fact that Matt Nagy doesn't believe in Mitchell Trubisky, and he was really bad. He gave you little reason to believe. Every now and then, he would break off a little run that would give you a little confidence. But unfortunately, you have to be able to pass on occasion if you're going to be a quarterback in the NFL. Yeah, newsflash, guys. So I think the problem, obviously, Pinheiro is supposed to be able to hit that kick, but I'm not upset at Matt Nagy. If you think you have an NFL kicker, you think that 41 yards is something that he can make, and you don't want to give anybody a chance, especially Mitchell Trubisky, a chance to throw an interception or fumble to happen. So I'm not upset about his decision, though it's fair to criticize him for it.
Yeah, I think you can debate whether he should have maybe tried to run and at the very least hold the line of scrimmage, but you can fumble. There's reasons there. The reason I put some of this at the feet of Matt Nagy, though, is because of what a focus he made this the entire offseason. The traveling circus surrounding this kicking competition in Chicago reached peak levels in a way that made me feel really odd. If you made a mistake like that so publicly, you'd think you want to keep it on the low, but instead, now it's always right in focus for the rest of us to criticize.
Yeah, it seems like a kicking position that nobody would want. Additional pressure on top of a position that's already usually filled with pressure.
Time now for some cold reality with me, Stu Gott. Cody Parkey, the kicker for the Bears last year. 2 of 2 on field goals, 3 of 3 on extra points for the Tennessee Titans. That's been some cold reality with me, Stu Gott.
Somehow bringing heat in the cold reality.
Brr.
Highly questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that can't believe I'm still here.
Good question.
All right. You give us topics and events, we question them. We're both still here. I don't know how.
Do you question whether the Nats can blame home plate ump Lance Barksdale for last night's loss?
Well, if you missed it with all the football happening this weekend, the Houston Astros went ahead and turned the World Series around, took a 3-2 lead last night with a little bit of help from Lance Barksdale, the home plate ump. Here are the Nationals pitching one strike away from ending this inning, or this half inning, late in the at-bat here. That first one was not called a strike, and then this one leaves the yard. And later in the game, it's the seventh inning. Gerrit Cole is still in it, but it's the Astros that need one more strike to get out of the inning.
Runner goes, pitches.
And he gets that pitch. That one in particular set some people off on Twitter, guys.
Yeah, it seemed like that last one in particular was a very bad call. And as a over the weekend, I became a Nationals fan, I'm very disgusted by this. As someone who lives in D.C. and looks for a reason to celebrate, I'm very disappointed in the umpire. Not at all in the fact that our team cannot win one game of the three at home.
Yeah, no, never mind all of that. And it's easy to blame the umpire in this. The guy I'm blaming is Gerrit Cole, who was on the other mound. Like, if you were facing a human buzzsaw, a guy who just tied the second most strikeouts in postseason history all time last night. I think he's pretty good, and I think he's probably why you lost.
You guys think that was a bad up? I've seen a bad up. You want to see a bad up? No. Here, I've got bad up for you.
The one vomiting all over the field? No.
Okay.
Halfway down, team. Look up.
The first base coach might have given you a heads up. Do you question if this was Breshad Perriman's fault?
Like most people, I was watching a little bit of Bucks Titans for the bloopers. I got a really good one. This is the receiver coming in motion. And that happens. I mean, Dominique, like, to me, I don't think Perriman had the right play call. But is there any other reason why this happens?
No, it's definitely on the quarterback, because the quarterback called for the motion and then called for the snap. I hate to pile on Jameis Winston because he gives us plenty of reasons to be critical of him. But if you see it from the beginning of that play, if we can show it again, he points out to Perriman, which tells him to go in motion, and then he calls for the snap of the ball. See that?
But if you're telling somebody to go in motion, Dominique, aren't you doing that to figure out if you're in, like, man or zone coverage or something like that, or adding to the block? Like, he clearly told them to do something that made no sense.
No, my guess is that this is a complex play. They're trying to get people's eyes with Perriman when Perriman crosses the center. He's supposed to wait till he crosses the center before you call for the snap of the ball at that point. Either that, or maybe Perriman's supposed to do an orbit motion and they do an option fake to the left. There's a few things that could happen, but I do not think that the thing that was supposed to happen was a TFL for Breshad Perriman.
Yeah, no, he wasn't looking to show up in the defensive stat column on this one. Dominique's right. We see these fly motion plays all the time where you fake the jet handoff underneath there, try and get the linebackers to move with him, and then have the running back go gracefully off of where he just was, not run directly into him because your quarterback can't time the snap and the motion the right way.
Guys, here's an idea for Breshad Perriman. Next time, tackle Jameis Winston before he throws another interception.
Could work.
Time to play the game that hopes Dan's back waxing appointment is going well. See or no.
Just so much hair. You tell us what to watch on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Tonight on ESPN, Monday Night Football, Dolphins and Steelers.
Before I answer this, is it too late to flex this game? Or... yeah. All right, I'm going to go with no. And to show you why not, we're going to show you a highlight of Ryan Fitzpatrick showing off his wheels.
With Miami trying to get down as quickly as they can.
Against the Bills. Down 10, just like they like it. Oh, look at that. Losing the dad weight. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the power in the end.
The turnover on those legs. Just.
Can you be deceptively fast and strong?
Oh, God.
Oh. Dominique, I know you can't help it. I know you can't help it, but are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. It's football. Ooh. It's prime time. It's on this network. I will be watching it. But let me shop this hot take that I've been taking around, see if any one of you guys want to buy it. The All Bears, right. before the trade deadline tomorrow, need to make a move for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I would buy that. No, I would love to see Ryan Fitzpatrick be in charge of a team that actually wants to complete passes.
That's better than Mitchell Trubisky.
How about you, Gojo? Are you intrigued?
I am absolutely intrigued in this. Watching Ryan Fitzpatrick anywhere in 2019 reminds me of when I saw Ludacris play at Fairfield College in Connecticut. It was years after he was relevant, and I'm not really sure it all fit together, but once we got there, we had a good time.
Yeah, you must have had a great night there. Stu, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because the Dolphins have figured out to give the appearance that they are trying to win football games while actually trying to lose football games, and I can't wait to see what they pull out tonight.
Ludicrous.
Tonight at 8 p.m., Thunder and Rockets.
Oh, of course, a big revenge game, a comeback game for Chris Paul, now with the Thunder going to the Houston Rockets again. Had a huge career there. 2 years, Russell? 3 years, maybe? Not really sure. But for video, let's show you James Harden getting into an argument with a basketball. I mean, Harden hasn't had a great start. He and Russ are bickering. Right there, he looks foolish, and then he does this. I mean, Josh Hart's reaction is legendary, but I wonder if this is why he grows the beard, just in cage. Give himself a little bit of protection there.
Softens the blow.
Dominique, are you intrigued?
No, I'm not that intrigued about this particular revenge game, but I am shocked. James Harden has made a career out of being very accurate with the basketball, from passing to shooting. How could you possibly, of all the places you could bounce the ball and not hit you in your face, you managed to find the only spot on the court that would send it back up into your chin?
That hand-eye coordination leaves a lot to be desired. Gojo, you intrigued?
I am very intrigued, and I am thankful for James Harden for showing the rest of the world what the enlightened already knew. It's not the hair on top of your head that matters. It's the hair on your chin.
Absolute nonsense. How about you, Stu? Are you intrigued?
CC, fun fact, though. This weekend, Donovan Mitchell, he got it worse.
Oh, that's right. He caught it.
Oh, no.
Right there.
Oh, it hurts more in slow motion. He wasn't even doing anything. He was just laying there.
Pain, Donovan.
Poor guy.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks to everyone for watching. I think we'll be back tomorrow.
I never know what to say here.
It's awkward.
You can't show me that stuff at work. We have rules.
Well done, Stu.